Welcome to Torah Imecha Parsha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Esther Wachstock, and today we will be learning Parshat V'zot HaBracha. Our Parsha opens with Moshe praising Hashem and transitions into the brachot that Moshe proclaims onto each individual Shevet. Each bracha reflects the strength and geography of the land each tribe is poised to inherit. The Parsha continues with Moshe's ascent onto Har Nevo, where Hashem shows Moshe a panoramic view of the land, and Moshe's death and burial. The Jews weep and mourn for Moshe for 30 days, and we are reassured of Yehoshua's rise to leadership. The Torah closes with a summation of Moshe's powers as a prophet, and that there will be never be another such as him. This is not the first time in the Torah that we see the language of Yivarech being used. However, it does represent a novel usage. Generally, throughout the Chamisha Chumshei Torah, Hashem is the one who blesses. The notable exceptions throughout Bereishit are when fathers bless their children. Usually, these blessings incorporate three elements: blessings of fertility, land, and covenant with God. Here, in Parsha V'zot HaBracha, we find each of these blessings incorporated into Moshe's blessings, as well as the language of Yivarech. We see a leader using the language of a parent. Just as the Avot bless their children before death with this divine language, so we now see Moshe doing the same. Throughout Moshe's leadership, we've seen hints of the parent-child aspect of his leadership. When Moshe was overwhelmed by his leadership responsibilities, he cried to Hashem, "Ha'anochi hariti et kol ha'am hazeh? Was I pregnant with these people? Ha'im anochi yildatihu? Did I give birth to them? Ki tomar elai sa'ehu bechekecha, that you should say to me that I should carry them in my bosom, kasher yisah omin tayunik, like a mother carries a nursing child, al hadama asher nishpat al avotav, to the land that has been promised to their fathers." By blessing the Shvatim in this style, Moshe is cementing his parent-like role vis-a-vis the tribes of Israel. Moshe has in some ways parented them through their transition into nationhood. Being freed from Egypt was like their birth. Their sojourn in the desert was like their childhood. And now they are ready for an independent adulthood in Eretz Yisrael, free of the nurturing miracles, ready for the independence of, quote, self-sufficiency in a natural existence. Moshe has nurtured and shepherded the Jews throughout this entire process. So we understand why Moshe blesses them in a parent-like manner. But why? Why is it so critical that this blessing finishes the Torah? Why a blessing delineated by each tribe? This question is strengthened by a point made by Professor Yoel Elitzur. He points out that the opening of our parsha reads, "Zot ha'bracha asher berech Moshe ish Elokim et bnei Yisrael lefnei moto." This is the blessing which Moshe, God's agent, bathed Jews before he died. Not a more straightforward active statement such as, "Vayikra Moshe l'Yisrael vayivarech otam." Which this statement that we see would seem to indicate that these blessings are being recollected here, but had not necessarily been recited at this point. Professor Elitzur argues that this is because there was a desire to end the Torah specifically with these blessings, but why? Why is it so critical to end with the blessings of the 12 tribes? Even more interesting are the verbs we see Moshe using in the closing of his brachot. After mentioning all the Shvatim, Moshe says, "V'igaresh mipanecha oyev," and the enemy will be driven out before you, "V'yomer hashmeid," and he will command them to be destroyed, "V'yishkon Yisrael batach badar," and then Bnei Yisrael will dwell in solitude and safety. This combination of verbs, "V'yigaresh" and "V'yishkon," is quite unusual. The only other place we see this combination is when Adam and Chava are exiled from Gan Eden. "V'yigaresh et ha'adam," and man was exiled from the garden, "V'yishkon mikedem l'gan Eden et ha'kruvim," and the kruvim were stationed east of Gan Eden. As Rav Yaakov Beasley points out, quote, "Clearly the entry of Israel into its land serves to close the circle that was opened when Adam was expelled from the garden. At the beginning of creation, Hashem intended to have mankind dwell in the earth's choicest location, to live in a place where Hashem's presence was so great that Hashem would stroll constantly among them. With Adam's disobedience, he was banished from the garden, and expulsion becomes the symbolic ultimate punishment in the Tanakh. However, Hashem never despaired of his dream. Now at the cusp of the entry of the Jewish people into the lands of Israel, the dream reawakens. Israel replaces the Garden of Eden, and the Jewish people replace Adam HaRishon," end quote. Somehow these blessings of the 12 tribes and their entry into the land are connected to healing the wounds left by the sin of eating from the Eitz HaDaas. How? And why is it specifically connected to Moshe's blessings of the 12 Shvatim? I think the key to understanding this lies in understanding why we needed 12 Shvatim to begin with. Chazal teach us that Rachel and Leah were aware of the prophecy of the 12 tribes, hence their jockeying over the birth of sons. But why? Why did there need to be 12? It's especially interesting given that there are, by some counts, 13 Shvatim, assuming you count Menashe and Ephraim as separate Shvatim, as we often do. Yet at each census or list, there are always 12 Shvatim. Even here in Vezot HaBracha, we have 12 Shvatim, but only because Shimon is not mentioned. In other instances, like in the Machaneh of the Midbar, Levi is not included in the four sides of the Shvatim, or in the censuses where we combine Menashe and Ephraim. In fact, the Ramban argues that Shimon is only not mentioned here in Vezot HaBracha, so that there will be 12 Shvatim mentioned. In Judaism, the key to finding the significance of a number lies in finding many examples of that number and seeking a commonality. 12 is not merely for the Shvatim, but it is also for the 12 months of the year, the 12 constellations of the zodiac, and the 12 permutations of the divine name. 12 represents the place where all of the physical aspects join together in a spiritual singularity. 12 months become 1 year, 12 constellations become one zodiac, and 12 Shvatim become one Am. 12 is the highest border limit within the physical world. In a cube, there are 12 lines that create the border, forming one cube. 12 are the limits of physical systems that are bound together by the 13th, which represents the divine element that fills the inside of the 12. Hence the 13 attributes of Hashem, 13 principles of faith, 13 Tanaic tools for interpreting the Torah. Rav Moshe Shapir explains that this is not random that there were 12 tribes. Rather, it was an expression of a deep aspect of creation. Rabbi Nachman goes deeper. He points out, Ve'ilu ha'arba'at zigalim hayu holchim saviv ha'mishkan v'ha'aron shesham haluchot shehim migalim yichudo v'achduto yitbarach. And these four digalim, the four camps or formations, went around the Mishkan and the Aron, which contained the Luchot, which revealed the oneness and unity of God. Kemo shekatuv sham, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. Like it says on those Luchot, I am Hashem the God. I am the one Hashem. Hainu l'ho wrote, Shekol hashnayim asar shvatim, Shekulim me'arba degalim, Shenechlakim lishino deot Harbei, to teach us that all the 12 tribes, which are composed of these four Degalim, which are split into all these many opinions, Kihem Shishim Ribo Nefashot, and they make up 600,000 souls, Shekol Achad Yesh Lo Deya Mishuna Mechavero, each of whom had their own unique opinion and their own individuality. Afal Pikein, nonetheless, Kol Elu Hashinoi Deyot, Shehim Bechinat Pulot Mishtanot, all of these differences and all these different ways of being organized, kulam klulim b'dei achat. They are all included in the one opinion. Kilu haya nefesh echad mamash. As if they all made up one divine soul. Ki kulam ma'aminim b'leiv echad b'Hashem. Because all of them believed in their one heart, in the one God. Shekol ha'pulot mishtanot. That all the different ways to operate are all ultimately drawn into Hashem. Rabbi Nachman is pointing out that the diversity of the 12 Shvatim ultimately comes together as a revelation of the oneness of God. Having the 12 tribes, with each being different, is a testament to the unity of Hashem. Only a true creator, one beyond all physical limits, could be the true living deity of such a diverse proliferance of people. The greater the difference between the Shvatim, with them still coming together to worship Hashem, the greater a testament they are to the divinity of Hashem. Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, at the beginning of Bamidbar, asks why it is only at the beginning of Bamidbar, which is opening in the second year of the Jews' travels in the desert, that we learn about the structure of the encampment. Rav Yaakov responds that it is only at this point, once the Mishkan is finished, that it becomes safe for Jews to split into tribal encampments. Once there is a Mishkan to keep different groups of Jews centered in their worship of Hashem, once the Mishkan has created a strong, stable center of the Jews, then individual tribal identity can be celebrated, without leading to division. So too with Moshe's bracha to the Shvatim. Moshe wants each Shevet to recognize that they will have a unique role in the destiny of the Jewish people as they are going to enter the land. The order of the bracha roughly complies with the geographic distribution of the Shvatim. Each Shevet will have its own place, its own leadership strengths, its own modes of contribution to the national project. Together, the 12 Shvatim can act as a revelation of the divine unity, but only if they are 12 Shvatim, with each Shevet embracing its uniqueness and purpose. In doing this, in embracing the role each of us play in revealing the divine, we are fixing the sin of Adam and Chava. When Chava and then Adam eat from the Eitz Hadas, we don't see Hashem reacting punitively right away. Vayikra Hashem Elokim el Ha'adam, vayomer lo ayeka. And God called out to Adam, and he said to him, where are you? Vayomer et kol chashamati bagan, vayira ki irum anochi vechbe. Adam responds, I heard the sound of your voice in the garden, and I was scared because I was naked, so I hid. Vayomer, Hashem responds, mi kidlach ke irumata, who told you that you're naked? Did you eat from the tree that I told you that you would have forbidden to eat from? Hashem doesn't seem angry. It seems that Hashem is urging them to confess and perhaps apologize. But immediately Adam and Chava start blaming. Vayomer ha'adam, ha'isha asher natata imadi, hi natna li min ha'etz v'achol. Adam said, it's the woman who you gave me. She gave me from the tree I ate. Vatoma her isha. And then Chava, the woman says, Hanacha shashiani hachol. This servant tricked me. He's the one who made me eat. This is the original sin. Blaming others and their imperfections for everything that's wrong with the world. This is why Vezot HaBracha is the end of Moshe's speech. Moshe's urging the Jews to see those different from them as integral to entering the land. The 12 on this earth together become the divine one. It's interesting to note that this portion of Vezot HaBracha is never read on Shabbat. Rather, it's always read on Simchat Torah, the day we celebrate the completion of the yearly cycle of Torah readings. Rav Tzadok of Lublin explains that this is because our parsha reflects Moshe's desire to individually bless the people, not a divine command to do so. This is parallel to the sanctity of the Jewish holidays, which are initiated by the Jews via their declaration of the calendar, as opposed to the sanctity of Shabbat, which comes from Hashem. Given the parsha of Vezot HaBracha reflects human initiative, it's only fitting that it be read on a day whose sanctity reflects that initiative rather than Shabbat. This is also part of the message of Vezot HaBracha as Tikkun for Chet Adam. The divine unity we are looking to create must come from us. It's not something we can wait for Hashem to gift us. Hashem is waiting for us to come together, to each embrace our own role within the divine Jewish people, to revel and dig into that role, but without losing sight of the fact that we need other types of Jews, other approaches, other personalities to reach divine perfection. Moshe ends Sefer Dvarim for us with a deep lesson on the key to our success, each other. I want to wish you all a Chag Sameach and a Gemar Tov. It's been a true pleasure learning Sefer Dvarim with you. Chazak, chazak, v'nitchazik.